Well, let's take our Bibles tonight and let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah tonight, chapter number 14. Isaiah 14. And I want to continue this Wednesday night series that we're doing over the summertime. And tonight, we'll just review for a moment here and then we're going to get right into the meat of this lesson. I've got a lot of ground to cover tonight. But last week, in case you were not here, we learned that Satan, can you remember what was Satan's original name? What was it? Lucifer. Good. Lucifer, when he was created, was Lucifer, did he have a red suit and horns and a pitchfork? No. The Bible called him the anointed cherub of God. He was an angelic creature that covered the throne of God. He had a high position. The Bible says he was perfect in beauty. The Bible says he was full of wisdom. Very beautiful creature. But Lucifer's heart was lifted up with pride and self-worth in connection with his beauty and in connection with all these divine privileges that he had. And Lucifer looked to the throne of God and he decided, I want that position and I want the glory associated with that position. So Lucifer made a personal choice. And when he did, he sinned against God. And the Bible teaches us that evil came into being. He desired what was rightfully God's. And so Satan lost his privileged position. Sometimes we think of sin as entering in the Garden of Eden. But sin actually began in the heavenly realm there with Lucifer, and eventually then came down to the earth. But it started there. He became the determined adversary of God. He became a Satan to his creator. That's where the name comes from. Satan means adversary. So he became a Satan. He became an adversary to God. With his corrupted wisdom, Satan formulated a plan of evil by which he would endeavor to achieve the perverted desires of his heart. It's revealed to us in Isaiah, and I've got to get there too, but go to Isaiah 14, and here the plan of Satan that he had in his heart is revealed. We get a glimpse here into the mind and into the heart of Satan. Verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" By the way, this is prophetically looking forward to the time when Christ will return, deliver Israel. Israel will be the blessing on the earth that God intended for her to be. And Satan will be thrown into the bottomless pit. And so it's looking forward to that day when he will be openly and publicly cast down. It's prophetically looking forward. But now he's going to go back in time. And it's going to reveal in verses 13 and 14 kind of where it started. That is the plan of evil that he formulated in his heart, in his mind. Look at verse number 13. "For thou hast said in thine heart," and then you got five I wills. Look at it with me. "I will ascend into heaven," Satan said. "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." Number three, "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Number four, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." And number five, "I will be like the Most High." Here we have five sworn resolutions, five I wills that took shape in his heart. He purposed and he swore to himself that he was going to do those things right there. Now, the ultimate objective, and I just want to, before we kind of look at each one individually tonight, and we're going to do that, I think it's important that we kind of look at them as a whole before we look and dissect each one individually. But I put them up on the screen, and I've done it that way on purpose, where you see one, and then you see two, three, and four indented, and then you see five. Because I want you to see the plan of evil here that Satan had. A simple reading here of the five I wills conveys to us an obvious progression of thought that reaches its climax. It reaches its overall objective in that fifth one. "I will be like the Most High." And so everything else up above that is working toward that goal. Now, the first one right there, and we're going to look at that in detail in a moment, I will ascend into heaven. That first one, in essence, sets the stage for how he's going to accomplish, for how he's going to accomplish what he wants to do. Now, you look at the two, three, and four. I've got those indented, and those are right in the middle. So you got the first one right there, and then two, three, and four, those three middle I wills, what that is that's what needs to be accomplished in order to achieve the overall objective. The overall objective is down there at the bottom, number five. I will be like, who does he want to be like? The Most High. And we're going to look at that in detail here in a moment too. But one, number one, sets the stage. And that's what needs to occur in order for him then to do two, three, and four, which is basically going to be three thrones of authority. So he says, I'm going to ascend into heaven. And then two, three, and four is what needs to happen in order to accomplish his ultimate objective, which is, I will be like the Most High. Now, let's do the first one. Let's look at the first one right there. He said, I will ascend where? Into heaven. That was his first I will. I will ascend into heaven. Now, let me make one thing clear, church. That is not simply referring to Satan taking a trip to heaven. All right, that's not what that's talking about. I mean, you know, one day, hopefully all of us in here are going to ascend into heaven. Amen? All right, so it's not just talking about taking a trip to heaven. It has to do with him taking up a position. You see, the Bible indicates that there are different spheres or different planes of abode in the heavenlies. There's different spheres. There's different planes. For example, go to Ephesians. I'll show you this real quickly. Go to Ephesians in the New Testament. And chapter 4 is where we're going to go. And then we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 1. But let's begin in Ephesians 4. And here he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 10, Ephesians 4, verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up. And then notice the terminology here. Christ ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Go back to chapter 1. All right, let's go back there. Notice how there's different spheres or planes of abode in the heavenlies. He went up far above. Now look at verse 20, Ephesians 1:20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And notice the Bible says that he set Christ at his own right hand in the heavenly places, but notice where in the heavenly places. Verse 21, far above. And then you have a reference to the heavenly host, the heavenly angelic government. Far above all principality, power, might, dominion. Those are basically positions in the heavenly realm. They're angelic positions. They're like governmental positions. That's what that wording is. Principality, power, might, dominion. Those are governmental positions in the heavenlies. And the Bible says in verse 21, again, look at it, that Christ is seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, let's get this clear. As a cherub of God, he has a nature similar to what we would think of as angels. It's an angelic-type nature, Satan, Lucifer. And as a cherub of God, he resided in the heavenlies. So you say, well, what does that mean then? When he said, I will ascend into heaven, you're saying that as an angel, he was already in the heavenlies. Exactly. When it talks about ascending into heaven, that is a reference to him wanting greater position of rank and authority in heaven. For example, I'll give you an illustration I think we can understand. We would say that king ascended to the throne. Now, if we say that king ascended to the throne, we understand that that does not mean, most likely, that he literally walked up a physical platform. And when we say he ascended to the throne, we don't mean he walked up a physical platform and that he walked up that platform and that he physically sat down on a throne. That's not what we mean. We mean when we say he ascended to the throne, we understand what that means. That king now has a position or a throne in which he rules over his subjects. We say he ascended to the presidency. You know, what does that mean? He literally walked up something. No, we know that he's got a position of authority. He's got a position of rank and authority. That's what Satan had in mind when he talked about ascending into heaven. He wants to rise up in position. He wants to occupy an office that exceeds that in which God originally placed him. It's the place of honor and glory that rightly belongs only to the Creator himself. This first I will is all about power. It's about power and it's about self-promotion. He said, I will ascend into heaven. And what he means right there, he's speaking of power. He is speaking of self-promotion. And in order to achieve the self-promotion, Satan needed to occupy positions of authority and dominion over creation. Well, that's what we're going to see in the next three I wills. The next three, 2, 3, and 4, they are going to focus on three thrones of authority above creation that Satan has determined that he's going to possess. From those three positions, what we're going to see there in 2, 3, and 4, from those three positions or thrones, he's going to be able then to exercise his power and achieve the ultimate goal of being like the Most High. So having said that, let's move to the second one. And let's go back to Isaiah. I hope you kept your bookmarker there. Isaiah 14. Let's look at the second I will. All right, it's actually in Isaiah 14, 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. And then number two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now, church, that's not simply a reference to the luminous stars in the sky that we see. That's a reference to angels. Angels are spoken of as stars in the Bible in connection with their occupation of the heavenly realm. Satan is basically desiring a position of complete and total power over the angelic host. He wants a position in which Satan decides what the angels will do, where they will go, who they will serve in the heavenly places. Satan desires that those angels, the angelic host, he wants them to exist, to administer, and to execute his will and his desires. He wants dominion over those angels, those stars, as if they were his own creation. And to me, if the first I will speaks of power, the second I will, I think, speaks of recognition. He wants to be recognized. He wants to be the one that tells them where to go, what to do. He wants to be the one. And as he establishes his throne over the angelic realm, he secures to himself one third of what he needs to accomplish, to obtain the ultimate objective of the final I will. So what's the second part of that? Well, let's go to our Bible again and look at verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Number two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Number three, Satan said, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. So here's another throne that Satan desires to sit upon. Now, you read that, and it talks about the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And if you're like me, right away you say, okay, well, where is that mount he's talking about? And what is that mount that he's talking about? And, you know, it appears from the scriptures that there is a specified mount in the heaven of God's abode at which the congregating of the angelic realm periodically takes place. How many of you remember the story in Job? And you remember that the Bible says that there was a day in which the angels came and presented themselves before the Lord. Remember that story? And you remember Satan came and accused Job there? And so obviously there's a place of congregating of the angelic realm where they come, the angels appear before God. They're subject to giving an account of their activities to God. And, you know, one of the thoughts I had, I don't know if you remember last week in Ezekiel 28, but in Ezekiel 28, when we read about Lucifer before he fell, you remember the Bible says that he was on the Mount of God? He was on the mountain of God. And the Bible talks about how he was cast off the out of the mountain of God. Could that be the same mount of congregation? I mean, we don't know for sure, but we do know that mount is mentioned. The mountain of God is mentioned back in Ezekiel 28. So Satan desires this seat of lordship over the angels. Not only does he want to exercise dominance over them. Remember the second one there? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. So not only does he want dominance over the heavenly host, but the third I will, I'm going to sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. He's saying, not only do I want dominance over the angels, I want them to congregate to me in accountability unto me. I want them to be accountable to me. And in his prideful, arrogant heart, Satan has determined that he wants to rule over the creatures of creation as his own servants. He wants them to appear before him at the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. So if the first I will speaks of power, the second I will speaks of recognition, I think this third I will speaks of authority. He wants authority. He wants power. He wants recognition. He wants authority. You know, and I'm just going to kind of throw this out as kind of a side note. Do you guys see any similarities between Satan's heart? And do you see any similarities in that and the way people act down here on earth? Does anybody see a similarity? Huh? Do you think we live in a world that people crave power? And they want recognition. And they want authority. You know? And so many times out there in the world system, we know what it's like where people will do anything to get it. It doesn't matter how wicked, it doesn't matter how low, it doesn't matter what it is. They'll do anything in order to achieve power. They want power. It's all about power. And it's all about authority. And it's all about that recognition. Well, it's satanic. And you know, the reason why that's so prevalent in the world is because those things started in the heart of Satan. And the Bible says this. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, I believe it's verse 2, it talks about Satan, calls him the prince of the power of the air. And then it turns right around and it says the spirit. In other words, a satanic spirit. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So you see, that spirit right there, his plan of evil began in the heavens. Of course, we know it came down to the earth. We'll talk about that here in a moment. And he was able to deceive Adam and Eve. And they fell right in lockstep with his plan of evil. But we see that those things that originated in his heart and in his mind are the things that we battle with today and we struggle with today. You see, Satan, he had an authority problem. He did not want to submit to the authority of God. He didn't want to accept the position that he had. That wasn't good enough. He wanted a more powerful position. He wanted something where he would have more authority and more power and more recognition. And those things that evil, the Bible says it was evil. And that evil that originated in his heart, that's the very thing we struggle with today. It's the very thing we deal with today. I mean, we deal with it, you know, as parents, you know, you deal with that with your kids. I mean, do you think it's an accident that children, when they're 2 and 3 years old, that one of the first words they learn is no? It's not an accident. You know what I mean? The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Well, what spirit? That spirit right there. It's that spirit that's working in people. By the way, can a Christian succumb to that kind of spirit? Absolutely. You see, the Christian can operate and function in the flesh. And whenever we begin worrying about about these, you know, this thing of position and authority and power and all this, whenever that stuff is always weighing on our minds and we're all worried about that, worried about recognition, we know, wait a minute, that's not God's spirit. That's the spirit that now worketh from Satan in the children of disobedience. All right, let's go to the fourth one. Number four, the fourth I will. Look at verse number 14. He said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Now that's interesting. What does that mean? I will ascend. Here we have another ascent, right? I will ascend into heaven. He wasn't satisfied with where he was in the heavenly realm. He wanted more position, more rank, more authority. Now he says, I will ascend above the heights. And you know what that's all about, don't you? That's setting the stage for that next one. I will be like the Most High. Isaiah 19:1, it says, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud. The Lord rideth upon a swift cloud. The Bible seems to indicate, if you study out this thing, there's so many studies we could do within this study, you know, and I'm giving you an overview, but you know, you do a study on clouds. That's pretty fascinating. In fact, do this. Keep your bookmarker here. Run over to Matthew, chapter number, Matthew 24. Let's go over there. Yeah, I like that verse in Isaiah 19:1. The Lord rideth upon a swift cloud. And so Satan wants to be like the Most High. He said, I'm going to ascend above the heights of the clouds. That's not just talking about the clouds we see here. All right, look at Matthew 24. And I got to get there myself. I get to talking and I forget to turn, you know. Matthew 24 and look at verse 30. Now, notice the context here is when Christ is going to return, all right, from heaven. He is going to take ownership. And he's going to take authority as king over this earth. And notice verse 30, how he comes. It says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming, what? In the clouds of heaven with power. Notice what's associated with the clouds. What are the two things? Power and what? There you go. Power and great glory. The nations are going to come and they're going to worship Christ. You see, this is speaking, when he talks about, I'm going to ascend above the heights of the clouds, clouds are associated with God's presence and God's glory. God's going to bring his presence down here to earth. And when he comes in the clouds. He rideth upon a swift cloud. The glory and the worship that is due God from his creation, Satan wants it for himself. Go to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. And look at verse 31. Again, same time context. The return of Christ. Verse 31 says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. We already know he's coming in the clouds. But notice again, glory is associated with it. And all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne. There's that throne again. Remember how Satan wants these thrones? And the Bible says he's going to sit on the throne of his what, church? Glory. You see, that's what Satan wants. When he says, I'm going to ascend above the heights of the clouds, he wants the glory and the worship that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, received. He wants it for himself. Instead of merely, listen, what was his job as a cherub? His job was to cover the throne. Instead of covering the throne, he wants to make himself the object of the worship and praise that is offered before that throne. And when in this particular I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, this I will deals with him setting himself. Satan wants to set himself to receive expressions of adoration. He wants to occupy that throne of worship over creation. He wants the praise. He wants the honor. He wants the glorification. When he talks about ascending above the heights of the clouds, he wants to ascend to a position of worship and glory that is due God alone. He wants praise. He wants praise. And if you look, number one, I will ascend into heaven. He wasn't satisfied with his heavenly position. He said, no, I'm going to ascend up higher in those spheres and planes of the heavenlies. and I'm going to, he said, I've got to ascend up in heaven. I'm going to go for a greater position of rank and authority. Power. He wanted power. I will exalt my throne above the star, above the angelic realm. Recognition. I want them to recognize me as their leader. The third, I'm going to sit on that mount where they all congregate and they give an account. Authority. The fourth, I will. I'm going to ascend above the heights of the clouds. He wants praise. And then all of this, those three thrones that we just talked about, those three thrones or positions of authority, Satan feels like, if I can get those three thrones, that's hard to say, three thrones. Try to say three thrones five times fast. But he feels like, if I can get those, I can get what I'm after. What's he after? Number five is what? I will be like the Most High. Did you notice he didn't say, I will be like God? Didn't say that. He didn't say, I will be like God. He said, I will be like the Most High. Why? Why did he use that terminology? And this is, you may be wondering, when did all this happen? And I can't prove this conclusively, I don't think. But my gut tells me that this falling of Satan, this evil that originated in his heart, this choice of his will to rebel. Rebellion, that's why rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is satanic. When we rebel against authority in our life, it's such a satanic, we're operating under a satanic principle. And when he got this rebellious spirit and he devised this plan of evil, I believe that it happened probably somewhere between Genesis 1:31, after that, and before, of course, in the garden. How much time elapsed in there, we really don't know. Bible doesn't tell us. But I think it had to have happened in there somewhere. And one of the reasons, there's several reasons why I think that. Number one is, you remember when God finished creation, and he finished creating everything, he said everything was what? It was very good. And had Satan already fallen, and had evil been present in the heavenly realm, and had that rebellion already happened in the government of heaven, I don't know that God would have said that. Everything wouldn't have been very good. So I think it had to have happened after that. And of course it happened before he shows up in the Garden of Eden. But another reason why I think that it probably happened in there somewhere is because he uses this term, I will be like the Most High. Well, what does that mean? What does Most High mean? Well, he knew exactly what it meant. That is the distinctive title that belongs to God and identifies God as the possessor of heaven and earth. So in order for him to use that term, heaven and earth would have had to been there, would have had to been created. Because that term, Most High God, that term is used twice in Genesis 14. If you want to look at that sometime, I don't have time to run there tonight. But Melchizedek, Abraham, remember that story? And the Bible identifies him as giving to the Most High God, possessor, the possessor of heaven and earth. That's what Satan's after. This is how he wants to be like the Most High. He wants to be able to function as the owner of heaven and earth, with all the glory and all the honor that goes along with it. It gives him the right to rule and to receive honor as the owner. With the establishment of those three previous I wills, those three previous thrones, he knows that he can accomplish his ultimate goal stated in the final I will. And by the way, let me throw this out. Satan said he wants to be like the Most High. That's interesting. Because can anybody tell me who in God's creation was created in the likeness of God? Not a trick question. Who was it? Man. Right? Genesis 1, 26 and 27. It says that God said, let us make man in our own image and in our likeness. You see, it was man. When I think, personally, what happened is that Satan got filled with a jealous spirit. When God, the crown of God's creation was man. And he takes and out of the dust of the earth, he creates man and gives man the governorship of the earth. And I think that made Satan very upset. Here you have out of dust this thing called human beings, this thing called man, and God is going to make them in his likeness. Satan's eaten up with jealousy. Satan is thinking in his heart that, remember the Bible says iniquity was in his heart. He's thinking, I'm much more capable of displaying God-likeness than those human beings. I'm the one that should be like the Most High, not man. And so he determined his ultimate objective is I will be like the Most High. It is me who will be like God. Satan's plan, you notice, does not involve trying to destroy God. That's something else we really need to note. Though he has corrupted wisdom, he's fully aware, he's not a dummy, and Satan is fully aware that he cannot get rid of God. He knows that. He cannot bring God to ruin or make God non-existent. He's got more sense than an atheist. Amen. What is it? James 2 says the devils believe in God and tremble. He knows he cannot make God non-existent. So I want you to understand that Satan's plan of evil, he's not trying to make himself into the Creator, but rather Satan desires to be like God in a very particular way. You see, Satan could not have complete control of the operations of heaven and earth. God didn't give it to him. God gave to man control of the operations of earth. He gave man dominion over the earth. He gave man dominion over the things on the earth. And so Satan, he couldn't have what he wanted. He wanted control. He's a control freak. And he wants control of the operations of heaven and earth, both. So he determined, okay, God won't give it to me. So I'm going to devise a plan whereby I can claim it. I can win it, and I can have control of it. He corrupted the heavens first with his plan of evil. We'll talk about that next week. He began to traffic his plan to the angelic host. And he corrupted the heavens first with his plan of evil. And then, of course, he wanted to bring it to earth. And we see that happening in the Garden of Eden. So I want you to understand that it's not Satan trying to do away with God. It's basically Satan wanting to win control over heaven and earth, over the heavenly government and the earthly government. He wants control. Okay, and so Satan is going to devise this plan whereby basically, you know, in his mind, he's thinking God's just going to have to deal with it. I'm going to be the rightful owner and possessor of it. I'm going to be in control. And of course, we're going to see part of his plan was destruction of Israel, who would be the channel of blessing on earth and would take the governorship of the earth in the kingdom. And of course then, then the church, the body of Christ is revealed, who we're going to possess the heavenly government and extend Christ's glory. And so he's got a plan of opposition for us to try to make us unworthy, make Israel unworthy, and win that victory. See, he wants to win that victory so he can control it. And of course, he knows then that when Christ comes on the scene, he wants to destroy Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ is the rightful heir. You see, Satan would overcome God's plan, he thinks, with his own plan. And he's going to claim power and authority over creation. Now, that's the plan of evil. And by the way, when he says, look at number 5. And the last thing I'm going to mention, I will be, and what's the next word?
Like.
Remember this. Never forget this. Satan's an imitator. He's not a creator. He's an imitator. He always imitates God. That's why Paul said he comes as an angel of light. And don't be surprised if his ministers appear as ministers of righteousness. He imitates God. I mean, we know that God is a Trinity, three in one. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Well, what do you have over in the tribulation? You have an unholy Trinity. You have Satan, which is represented then you have the Antichrist, and then you have the false prophet imitating the work of the Holy Spirit. So in the tribulation, you see this. In fact, go to Revelation 16. Let me show you something there. I told y'all I was going to quit, but y'all will forgive me. I'm only going to be a couple minutes. We're going to be out of here on time, I promise you. Look at Revelation 16. It's fascinating. Talking about Satan being an imitator. I will be like the Most High. All right, look at this. Revelation 16:13. I hadn't planned on sharing this with you, but we got a couple minutes here. Look at Revelation 16:13. And I saw three unclean spirits. This is in the tribulation. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the... Say it with me. What's the first one? Dragon. We know that's the dragon. Satan is called the dragon, right? Okay. And out of the mouth of the what? Beast, the Antichrist. And out of the mouth of the what? False prophet. Unholy Trinity. You've got the dragon, Satan, imitating the work of the Most High God. You've got the Antichrist imitating the work of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He's going to be that earthly Messiah that shows up in the tribulation. He's the deliverer, you know. And then you've got the false prophet, who, of course, points people to the Antichrist. He's like the Holy Spirit points people to Christ. The false prophet points people to the Antichrist. He does miracles, and he does signs, and he does wonders. People say, well, that preacher, he was doing miraculous signs. He's got to be of God. When the Antichrist and the false prophet show up, they do miracles, signs, and wonders. Y'all see where you got to be careful? You know, Satan doesn't show up, like I said, with horns and a long tail and, you know, red suit and goatee and all that. No, when Satan shows up, folks, he's going to show up in a way where he's like the Most High. He wants to imitate the work, see, of the Most High. He's an imitator. He's not a creator.